Certainly we honor the Lord, for He's God and He's above all, and all is beneath Him. He has navigated our niches and allowed us the privilege of being participatory in this place of praise once again. I say without reservation or hesitation, God is good. We owe Him and can't pay Him. Certainly we thank God for your presence, your prayers. Thank God for your being here and participating. That worship is not to be spectated, but you are to participate. God has been good to all of us, and He is good to all of us. And certainly we thank Him. Certainly to these preachers, Pastor Emeritus Walker, Reverend Shepherd, Reverend Erskine, Reverend McCoy, he's with Children's Church, and to Brother Mashburn, he will be preaching his embarkation sermon today at 3.
Yes, Lord.
And it would be nice, kind, and considerate if he can look out and see you. He needs your prayers and your amens. You'll come on up, preacher. And whatever salutation or statement or expression you give while preaching is going on. Certainly to these deacon brethren and trustees who have devoted us, to the ushers, to the choir ministry, to the musician, minister of music, to security. I want to thank Brother Edwards for getting me over to Dr. Sellers Church and back at good time. At a good time. And certainly we thank God for your prayers. Amen. So good to see my friend, Deacon John Doyle. Amen. Good to have you in our service today. Amen. I was teasing at Miss Doyle this morning. I won't tell you what I said to her. I had to tell you after service. Amen. Amen. She's looking good. And I told her it's dangerous for you to be over here by yourself. And she must got on the phone and told you, you better get over here. Amen. So good to see you today. Amen. So good to see all of you. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, first five verses. 1 John chapter 5. It reads this way: whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. But this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Talk about overcoming faith. Overcoming faith. Overcoming faith. Say that with me if you will. Overcoming faith. Overcoming faith. I want you to personalize it. I have overcoming faith. Amen. I have overcoming faith. What I'm going through, the things or the situation, conditions I struggle, are not going to get the best of me. I'm going to get the best of it because I have overcoming faith. Overcoming faith. Trials and tests are reality and strength of faith. Test trials show us what we really have. That our trials are not for God to know our trust, our faith, but our trials, our troubles, are for us to know our own trust and commitment to God. John wrote this epistle to the churches of Asia Minor. John, the beloved disciple of Christ, John, the revelator, John, who was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. Yes, he, being an eyewitness of the Lord, being a student, a disciple of Jesus Christ, stood in between Jesus' physical presence, now absent, and the church who was called by his name. Yes, sir. He wrote them to provide directions in standing against the new challenges of their faith in Christ. Yes, sir. That you cannot be a blood-bought child of God, saved of God, and not be opposed. Because when you give your life to Christ, you then have an enemy. That's Satan. He gets busy. He gets on your track. He sicks his demons on you. He causes all kinds of chaos, confusion in your life. When you give your life to Christ, not only does he trouble and try you, but all who's near and dear you, he gets busy in their lives as well. He wrote to provide the churches of Asia Minor direction in standing against the new challenges of their faith. Their faith in Christ was being tested and tried by false teachers, antichrist, that infiltrated the church, testing or teaching against Christ and Christianity. That the false teachers' doctrines denied the incarnation of Christ. The incarnation simply means the embodiment of a deity in the flesh. Christ came in the flesh. He had a real flesh. It was not the figment, a figment of people's imagination. He came in the flesh. They were teaching the belief that Jesus' humanity was not real, and that he only appeared to have a physical body. They were teaching Gnosticism, which taught that Christ's body was phantasm, a figment of the imagination. Jesus did not only have the appearance of a body, he had a real physical body. It was not an appearance that hang on the cross of Calvary. It was a real body. For the Bible tells us that word became flesh. Ought to have a witness. And dwelt among us. John said in 2 John chapter 1 verse 7, I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. They deny that Jesus Christ came in a real body. Such a person is a deceiver and an antichrist. He was warning them and giving them instructions so that they could stand against false teachers, against the heresies of the false teachers. He also wrote to believers of Christ to encourage them to continue walking in fellowship with Christ so as to not be drawn into false belief. Satan can get you close, but can't get you close enough. And he'll get you close to deceive you. He'll give you a piece of the word so that he can lure you from the word. So you have to watch false teachers and false doctrine so that you don't be drawn into false belief. My brothers and sisters, the church needs a word. The church needs a word because we contend with false teachers and false doctrines. There is the doctrine of Gnosticism. There is witchcraft, workers of magic, narcomatic, nymphomatic practices. We need a word from the Lord. We need a word because our faith will be tested. Our faith will be tried. Your faith will be tried by witchcraft, workers of magic, false teachers, false preachers. And if you don't know the word, you will be led away down a path of deception. Look at your neighbor and say, you need a word. Come on, look at somebody and shout at them, you need a word. You need a word, a solid word. A sound word. You need a word. Come on. Shout at somebody else and say, you need a word. You need a word. You need a word. John gives us perspective of faith in Jesus Christ. Notice, first of all, the object and evidence of your faith. Verse 1, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loves him that begat loves him that is begotten of him. There are two things I see in verse 1 that shines light on faith. Number one, Jesus or John deals with the object of your faith, the object of your faith, and secondly, he deals with the evidence of your faith. The object of your faith is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Christ. So to have faith in God is to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ simply means that Jesus is the anointed one sent from God to save humanity from sin and its penalty. Jesus is the Messiah. To believe that Jesus is the Christ is to believe in the incarnation of Jesus, the coming together of the divine nature of God and the human nature, all in Jesus Christ. The Bible says if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you are born of God. You are of God. John said in John 1:12, as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Born of God. Hold the thought of being born of God, and I'll be back to it in just a minute. But notice the object of your faith is Jesus is the Christ. Not only do we see the object of our faith is Jesus is the Christ, but we also see the evidence of our faith. Notice now, to believe in the incarnation involves birth from God, and to be born of God involves loving God. To love God involves loving his children. So you have love on the vertical and you have love on the horizontal. Now, if you don't have love on the horizontal, you don't have love on the vertical. Because the evidence of your faith is loving God. And if you love God, you will love his children. Do I have any witnesses here? So the evidence of faith is articulated in the love you have for your brother and sisters in the Lord. You should not hate anybody that worships with you. You shouldn't hate anybody that praises with you. When you come to church, it ought to be nothing but a love relationship. You ought to look at two or three people and say, I love you. I love you. I look, some of you ain't saying nothing. I love you. That's the evidence. He says, that's the evidence of your faith, that if you really believe in the Lord, you will love the Lord. But not only will you love the Lord, you will love your brother and sister. First John chapter 3 verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. In other words, if you are not loving, you are not born again. You're not born again because the evidence of faith in the Lord is not hocus pocus. It's not worldling someone and getting what you want, but it's loving people that worship with you, people that praise with you, people that's praying for you, and you are to be praying with them. You got to love the brother. And he says, if you're not loving the brethren, you're not born of God. You abide in death. You got to give up that hate. You got to give up that low downness. You got to give up that bitterness, that envy, that strife, that unforgiveness. You got to give it up. You got to let go of those issues you got. Those problems you've been holding on to. Somebody here ought to help me. You got to let it. Look at somebody and tell them, let it go. There are to be some evidence on the horizontal plane that expresses your faith in God. And his love. That love is the currency of the kingdom. See, you can't use money as currency to get into the kingdom, because you can't buy your way. But you got to be born again, and you have to love your way. First John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfect. He wants to use you as a conduit. See, you don't know how to love until you have tapped into the love of God. Because listen, you are not loving on your own. You were not born loving and lovable. You were born selfish. So you had to be born again. And listen, some of you are trying to hook up with a man or a woman who don't know God. And you want to know why they are mistreating you. It's because they have not tapped into what love is. Because they can't love you like you need to be loved until they realize just how much God loved them and loves them. And listen, when they tap into the love of God, then they will become a conduit, and the love of God that flows to them will flow through them, and you will receive and be the recipient of love. You better stop meeting these folks in the nightclub. Stop meeting these folks in the juke joint. Stop meeting these folks at the skating ring. Meeting these folks at the ball game. And because you eyed them and they eyed you, that doesn't mean they love you and know how to love you. You better be asking them if they know the Lord. Do you go to church? Do you praise the Lord? Do you love the Lord with all your heart, mind, body, and soul? And if they say no, you need to exit. You better exit before you be waiting to exhale. You need to know love. You need to know the evidence of faith and faith that overcomes. He talks about the object and evidence of true faith is to love God. It's to love God. And then to be loved by God. And then to allow the love of God to flow through you to love others. Now, let me tell you something you can't do. Because he's saying something here. God is saying you can't love him and hate his children. See, if you talking about you love me, Rev, I love you, and you hate my wife and my children, you don't love me. Or you can't say you love Lady and Little Trinity and Taylor, Tyler and Titus and say you hate me. They are the product of who I am. And listen, if you're going to love me, you got to love them, because some of me is in them. What God is saying is if you're going to love him, you got to love his children, because some of him is in us. You got to love. And I'm not talking about conversation. I'm talking about love that controls your conduct. Yes, sir. Love that makes you treat people right there's men treating you. Love that'll make you smile.
Yeah.
Behind a hurt.
Yeah.
Behind somebody going off on you.
Yeah.
But you're still smiling.
Yeah.
Love that'll make you seek out the best for a person.
Yeah.
Regardless of how the person is.
Yeah.
I'm talking about love. The love that God has for us.
Yeah.
Because listen, if God treated some of us like we treat some other folks.
Yeah.
Oh. We would be messed up from the flow up, but thanks be to God, He gives us unconditional love. It's love that's not predicated upon who we are and what we are doing. He loves us in spite of. Look at somebody and tell them, you got to start loving people in spite of. Go home and love your husband in spite of. Go home and love your wife in spite of. Go home and love your children in spite of. Go home and love your neighbor in spite of. Go home and go to work and love your coworker in spite of. Go home and go to work and love your boss in spite of. And tell them there's nothing you can do to make me hate you. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do. I don't care how you plot, plan.
Yeah.
I don't care what you're doing.
Yeah.
I love you.
I love you. Yeah.
Some of y'all can't say amen to that.
Amen.
Y'all can't say amen to this. Because you think you feel better by hating.
Yeah.
You deceived. If you think hate makes you feel better than love will make you feel, you need some evidence. Because you have the object. You have evidence. I got to quit. He's talking about this faith. And this faith that has evidence of love overcomes the world. So it has overcoming power. Verse 4. For who or whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. He makes mention of it again. So John says faith overcomes the world.
Yeah.
Now notice number one, he says whatsoever is born of God. I told you earlier to hold the thought of being born of God, the word born.
Yeah.
Geneo in Greek, which is a metaphoric expression of God's spirit imparted in a believer.
Yeah.
In other words, to be born of God means to have God's spirit imparted in you. And when God's spirit is imparted in you, you are not to operate by your lowercase s spirit. You are to operate by the capital S spirit of God.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
That God, His spirit is imparted, that the Holy Spirit imparted in the believer, the Holy Spirit is imparted, is placed inside the believer. Place in the inner spirit becomes an inner strength, inner might, and inner force in a believer. So the spirit works out what's in. My God. The Holy Spirit works you out within. He builds you up on the outside or on the inside for the struggles and war you fight.
Yeah.
He gives you overcoming power. Overcoming ability. Now notice verse 4 speaks of overcoming. Overcoming suggests struggles. Struggles, notice, does not subdue, get the better of us. We don't succumb to our struggles. We don't succumb to Satan and sin. We overcome. We vanquish, surmount our struggles, Satan and sin. You know, as a child of God, you ought not walk around with your head hung down, singing gloom and doom. Nobody knows the troubles I see. Listen, as a child of God, you are not overcome by your struggles. God has given you the ability to overcome your struggles, Satan and sin. That's why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, he says that that God will do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us. It's inside of you. You don't have to wait for it to come. It's already inside of you. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. You just need to activate the Holy Spirit on the inside of you and overcome your struggles. Instead of singing about your troubles, you ought to be singing, "Victory is mine. Victory is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind." Is anybody here? Victory today is mine. Do I have anybody in here that will leave today with that as your theme song? You're not talking about your troubles overcoming you, but now you're singing about you overcoming your troubles.
Yes, sir.
That we have struggles, but we have victory. Victory not only implies struggles, but victory implies defeating an enemy. That the divine life that's in you and life of the ungodly world without you is antagonistic. Satan, who's in the world, is not with you. And because you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, you have become enemy of Satan. Now, as long as you were in the world, Satan had you. You know, he gave you a false impression of life that you were doing better prior to your conversion than you know, when you were in the world. You know, he had you deceived. You know, you thought you were doing better when you were going from nightclub to nightclub. And you were shaking a leg, dodging bullets, getting drunk, not knowing how you made it home. You thought you were better, and you thought you were getting by. But listen, You weren't doing better then. You are doing better now. Because you don't have to drink something and smoke something to feel high when you're in the Lord. You can be high when you're sober. Do I have anybody here? Wake up high. Live throughout the day high. Go to sleep at night high. Wake up the next morning again high. Because your high is not predicated upon a twisted cigarette, nor is it predicated upon Jack Daniel or some other kind of Daniel that may be Jack, but your high is predicated upon the Spirit of God on the inside of you. I'm better sober. That I don't need nothing to make me feel good about myself outside of what the Lord has given me. And that's his Holy Spirit. I feel, I wake up in the morning, I feel good. Good morning, Lord. Thank you for letting me see a new day. Boy, I get in the mirror when I put my clothes on and say, Lord, I thank you for a portion of health and strength. I thank you for things being as well as they are. Listen, when you are in the Lord, you can thank him for what you got, for what he's given you, and for what he's going to do for you. You don't need something else to enhance who you are and to make you feel good about who you are. God has already given it to you. We have the divine spirit on the inside of us. W. Jones says, it is the battle of truth against error, of light against darkness, and of love against hate. That the power of God that's in you conquers everything that comes against you. That's why John said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So the word greater means Jesus is larger in size, bigger beyond average, and mightier than anything that can come against you. Now let me leave you. He mentions overcome several times in verse 4, twice in verse 4. The first time, the word overcome is aorist participle, which means the victory is simply past tense. But then the second time he mentions overcome, it's present participle or present tense, which means that the Lord is giving us constant and continuous victory every day.
Yes, sir.
Here it is.
Yes, sir.
I have won in Christ.
Yeah.
I am winning in Christ.
Yeah.
And I will win in Christ.
Yeah.
Y'all just missed it.
Amen. Amen.
Let me see. Can I rewind it and give it to you again?
Amen.
I have won in Christ.
Amen.
Past tense. I am winning.
Yeah.
In Christ, present tense. I will win in Christ, future tense. What I'm trying to say is I have total victory in Christ. I'll never lose because I'm in Christ. And because I'm in Christ, the victory that Christ won on Calvary, I have that victory in my life. Look at somebody, if you will, and tell them, you are a world conqueror. You are a world conqueror. Come on, look at somebody and say that to them. You are a world conqueror, which means that anything you come into contact with, anything that counters you in life, you will win. You'll win by your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your faith overcomes the world and all that's in the world. It overcomes the God of the world. It overcomes the lust of the flesh. It overcomes false prophets. It overcomes false teachers. It overcomes temptations. It overcomes snares. It overcomes evil doctrines. It overcomes wicked men. It overcomes the promises of Satan. It overcomes illness and sickness. It overcomes everything that comes against you. I stopped by this morning to tell you to stand in your faith in God. Look at somebody, if you will, and tell them, stand
strengthened in your faith in God as you are going through. You need to go through knowing that you win. As you are experiencing low moments in life, you need to experience the low moments knowing that you're going to overcome. As sickness comes in your body, you need to know that God has given you power to overcome your sickness. Thank God for victory. Thank God for victory. Thank God for victory. Is there anybody here who can thank God for victory? If you're not too mean, and if you're not too sadistic, you ought to give God a praise for victory. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. I told the enemy that victory is mine. I give God praise because he won the victory on a hill called Calvary. When they were nailing his hands, they were nailing Satan to the wall. When they raised him between heaven and earth, they were defeating Satan. When he died, it was not defeat. When they put him in a borrowed tomb, it was not defeat. But when he got up early Sunday morning, he announced his victory over Satan. Is there anybody here who can give him a praise? Because early Sunday morning, he got out of the grave. I thank God he got up. And because he got up, I can stand up. I can speak up. I can look up. And I can praise his name. Because the victory he won is mine. Look at somebody and tell them it's mine. You're not looking at a loser. You're not looking at a defeatist. You're not looking at a person discouraged. You're not looking at a person who's down. I'm a victor. I win because I'm in Christ. Let me ask you my question, then I'll leave you alone. Ain't he all right? If you know he's all right, say yeah. 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 Yeah.
The doors. The doors. The doors. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here today and you're not saved, come give the Lord your life while the blood is run warm in your vein. Receive him as Lord and Savior by believing in your heart, confessing him with your mouth. Thou shalt be saved. Come today, come today, come today, come today. Secondly, if you're here and you're backslidden and you want the Lord to restore you, come. Thirdly, if you're here in need of a church home and the Lord has laid this church on your heart, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Don't let this day, this opportunity pass you by. Come by letter, Christian Experience, a candidate for baptism, salvation, restoration, faith family. Come on, come on. Come on, come on. Come on, the doors stands ajar. Come on. Oh my. Come on, bless you.
So you can use me.
Come on, the doors.
Give myself
Will there be another? Come on, the door still stands ajar.
I give myself away so you can use me.
Come on, the doors. As the choir sings.
Experience.
Amen. That means you're already saved. Amen. And you want to be a member of this church. Amen. I've been seeing you at Bible study on Wednesdays, and I thought you was a member already. Amen. But you're making it official. You're going to be a member. Amen. Again, we have orientation. Sister Woods and Sister Oliver, they are orientation teachers for classes. Have you been there already? You been in orientation already? Amen. Just continue on in orientation. I thought I saw you. Amen. Continue on in orientation. And after your fourth orientation, I want you to come to the office. We have Sunday school class for preachers in my office. And I want you to be a part of that. Okay? All right. Bless you. Bless you. Amen. Sister, who do we have? Tisha Oliver, Christian experience, that means you're saved as well. Amen. And you agreed to be a part of our orientation. Amen. Sunday mornings at 9:20. He already knows. Sunday morning at 9:20. Your mom is a teacher along with Sister Woods. And we want you to go through the four classes. And then afterwards, you're a full-fledged member. We want you to continue in Sunday school and Bible study and service on a regular basis. All right? Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Amen. All right. Come on. Give the Lord a hand.
I just want to say this. Lord bless me to be here 40 years. You know what I told the Lord? Just don't let no devil come behind me.
I ain't no devil. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. All hearts and minds clear. Don't forget 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock. Where's Brother Mashbond? I saw him walking. Where is he? There he is. Come on up here so they can see you. Put your own spot. He's doing his embarkation sermon today. And amen. At 3 o'clock. Amen. We want to come out to support him and encourage him along in the Lord. He has a long road ahead of him, but the Lord will be with him every step of the way. Amen. We pray for you. We pray for your family. Where's your family? Come on. Come on. Yeah, come on. Bring them babies. It's going to be a change in all of their lives because of the calling that the Lord has on him. He has to give his life up for the use of God. for the kingdom of God. So he needs our prayers. And we will pray for you. Father, we thank you for Brother Mashburn. Lord, his submission to your will. That he understands that your calling and gifts are without repentance. That this will be the first day of the rest of his life. Lord, as a preacher, carrier of your gospel. Lord, I pray that you keep him and hold him in the hollow of your hand, that you will use him in a mighty way for kingdom, illustration, expansion, and exaltation. Protect his family, protect him, his wife and children. Give them your mind. Lord, give them unity and ministry so that they will make an indelible impact upon the world, the community, the county, the city in which they live. Lord, I thank you for every soul that's here today. Thank you for your word, that we now have a true perspective, biblical perspective of what faith is, that we are, Father, to have Jesus Christ as the object of our faith, and the evidence of our faith is love on both the vertical and horizontal. And when we have Jesus Christ as the object of our faith and we have the evidence of our faith, Lord, our faith overcomes the world. We win. We are victors in Christ. Now, Father, we make ready to leave this place, but never your presence. Lord, we pray that your love, Lord, in the communion of the Holy Spirit, will rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth and forevermore. And every heart say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go in peace.